Judge Conklin.
Present.
Judge Bradshaw. Judge Clark. Judge Jasna. Judge Kalmakarian.
Present.
Judge Kelly.
Present by phone, thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Finke.
Present.
Ms. Cameron.
Present.
Ms. Fleming informed us she'd be absent today. Mr. Landry.
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Rule.
Here.
Mr. Slayton.
Here.
Ms. Turner. Mr. Yamasaki.
Yes, good afternoon, President.
Thank you.
All right, I think we've got enough for a quorum. I know we started right at noon and everybody has a busy day, so I think those folks will be joining us in just a minute. Just a couple things. We've got three items on our agenda today. You're all familiar with them, but it's things that obviously we need to stay current with. The first item, and Rose, we don't have prior minutes we need to, oh, I'm sorry, we do. Motion to approve the minutes from the February 6th meeting. Do I have a motion?
Landry makes a motion.
And I have a second.
Rules,
second. Any objection to the minutes from the February 6th meeting being approved? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. So now getting to our agenda. The first item we have on today involves funding reallocation as described in fiscal year 25-26 with a no new money year. So Oksana is about to present this for us. This is a familiar item to us. We're all, I believe, based upon either educational sessions or more likely prior experience, familiar with existing policy concerning allocation of funds for each fiscal year, depending upon funds we receive in the budget. So pursuant to that policy, this is at least the second year of a no new money year. So we'll follow up with item two, but the allocation for item two is specifically revolving around a what we typically refer to as a CPI or an inflationary adjustment, which has already clearly been determined to be not new money. So technically last year was the second year of a not new money year, but we had other issues we're dealing with. So this year is the year being treated as the official, so to speak, second no new money year. So we are now moving forward with that as a no new money year. This then draws in issues related to equity of the courts. I want to remind everybody that even the decisions we make today will be dictated by and updated by new calculated need adjustments and other technical adjustments for 25-26. So laying the foundation now for what a no new money year is and the existing policy for that, I'll turn it over to Oksana to present. Oksana?
Yes, thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tat. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. Agenda item number one of today's meeting and for your consideration is a reallocation of existing funding in fiscal year 25-26 to support equity for the trial courts according to the workload formula policy regarding no new money. At its January 17, 2020 business meeting, the council approved the technical refinements to the workload formula policy, specifically the equity-based reallocation of existing funding for every second year in which no new money was included in the budget would be based on the beginning workload formula allocation, and the reallocation would be distributed to courts via distance from the statewide average funding level and court size based on the workload formula need. The sequence of steps is listed on page 5 of the materials. Since the workload formula was implemented in fiscal year 2018-19, there has been no instances for the equity-based reallocation of funding due to a second year of no new money included in the state budget. At its July 12, 2024 business meeting, the council approved an amended definition for the term no a new money. Specifically, the Council established that because Consumer Price Index, CPI in short, funding, when included in the budget, is used to address inflationary costs for all trial courts, such funding should not be considered new money for the purpose of funding allocation via the workload formula methodology. The Budget Act of 2023 included 74.1 million CPI adjustment to address trial courts' operational cost increases due to inflation. No other augmentation of new money were included in the budget for the trial courts. The fiscal year 24-25 governance budget that was released in January 2024 did not include any new funding for the trial courts due to the state's fiscal deficit. Therefore, based on the council's updated policy regarding the definition of new money, it was determined that fiscal year 24-25 would be the second year of no new money, as fiscal year 23-24 only included CPI funding, and the equity-based reallocation process would be implemented in fiscal year 24-25. At its May 1st, 2024 meeting, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee approved the funding reallocation of 7.2 million for fiscal year 24-25 according to the workload formula policy. Subsequently, fiscal year 24-25 May revision included 97 million reduction for the trial court operational funding due to the state multi-year deficit. Because the second year of no new money, the fiscal year 24-25, also included a sizable reduction, the kickback determined that implementation of the reallocation policy would result in a double reduction for some courts that would compound the adverse impact of the cuts on critical programs and services to the public. Therefore, the TIGBEC recommended that the reallocation policy not be implemented in fiscal year 24-25. The fiscal year 25-26 governor's budget that was released January 10, 2025, included an ongoing partial restoration of 42 million of the initial 97 million reduction beginning in fiscal year 24-25. The partial restoration of 42 million revises the ongoing reduction to the trial court operational budget from 97 million to 55 million, which results in a new baseline funding level for the courts beginning in fiscal year 24-25. The fiscal year 25-26 governance budget also included 40 million ongoing general fund to address increases in operational costs for the trial courts, which is considered CPI funding and not new money for the workload formula policy. We'll visit that topic in agenda item number 2. Since the Budget Act of 2024 did not include new funding for the trial courts, and the proposed budget for 25-26 only includes CPI funding of 40 million, then fiscal year 25-26 would be considered the second year of no new money according to workload formula policy, and the equity-based reallocation process would be implemented. The preliminary reallocation for fiscal year 25-26 is presented in attachment 1A on page 8 and is calculated based on available fiscal year 24-25 fiscal year allocation and need amounts for each court at this time. The current fiscal year 24-25 workload formula allocation approved by the council at its business meeting in February 21, 2025, reflects the revised ongoing reduction of 55 million for the trial courts. The new calculated need amount for fiscal year 25-26 will be available in April 2025 based on the updated date. The final reallocation will be updated based on the new calculated need and other technical adjustment for fiscal year 25-26 and is contingent on funding being included in enacted budget for fiscal year 25-26. The recommendations presented for your considerations are listed on page 7 of the materials and include the sequence of funding adjustments for fiscal year 25-26, so that the equity-based reallocation of existing funding occurs first before adding the $40 million for increased operational costs to the trial courts. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to take any questions you may have.
Judge Conklin, you're muted.
It's when I'm most effective, but anyways, I'm just updating the attendance. Judge Bradshaw's joined us, Judge Clark has joined us, Judge Jessner has joined us, and Kim Turner has joined us. So save for Rebecca, we have a full allotment. So Oksana, thank you so much. And to summarize what Oksana just told us, we're in a new baseline year because we've already accounted for the reduction of the reallocation. That's old business. We are now in a second year of no new money based upon that new baseline. And our existing policy dictates that we now use this equity adjustment, as we all know, to take those that are above the line, below the line, and within the band, and try to bring us all closer to the middle, which those numbers in the attachment that Oksana told us about get us to. So the recommendation set forth at page 7, and I'd invite discussion. David, your hand's up. Go ahead, David Slayton, and then David Yamasaki.
I just have a question. I was not here when this discussion was originally had about the reallocation methodology. And so just a question. I know on the methodology, the reduction has a sort of keeps people from falling into the band from the top down. So I wonder if there was any discussion about people penetrating the band from the bottom up. And the reason why I raise that, at least in the example we have here in attachment 1A, you have two courts who, in a sense, leapfrog one of the courts that was already in the band. So in the example, not to pick on them, but Marin and Sacramento leap over Kings County because there's not that same limitation on the bottom side. And so I wonder if there was any discussion about basically keeping penetration from the band on both sides so that you don't have this situation where you have, in a sense, leapfrogging of courts from a perspective of the funding levels.
Chad, you want to have a comment on that?
This is now, I think, almost 5 years ago when this was put into place. So that's, you're asking me to do a memory deep dive, but I don't recall any direction, David, on that, on coming up into the band. Really, the discussion was all around, as you said, sort of from the top down. But I don't know, Zlatko,
that's how I recall it. And then David Yamasaki, if he thinks it differently, it was very much about tampering downward movement and less so about upward movement and anything about leapfrogging. And so I appreciate you bringing that up, but it was not the focus. It was what can we do to benefit the courts under the average in years when there's no money on our path to continue to.
I'm doing a quick review right now of the 2020 memo that accompanied this. And on a quick scan, I don't see anything about that.
Yeah, David, you call it leapfrogging. There's always going to be movement. Courts are always going to move relative to each other within the area where they are. But David Yamasaki, do you have any further insight on this?
Just on that point, Judge, if I might, before David, these are all preliminary numbers, David Slayton, not knowing what the final, RAS need will be. And I think that's still just the principle, as Judge Conklin has said, is...
I think the question that from a policy perspective, forget the example, the question is, should we place caps on both ends of the band to keep people from coming down into it or penetrating into it? Basically, you can get to the edge of the band, but you don't penetrate further into it so that, because in essence, in this example, sort of going back to it, we're sort of, Kings is not getting the benefit in this example of additional reallocation because they just happened to be in the band at the time mm-hmm. of the allocation. I know this will all move when we do reallocation. I'm just using this as an example.
I think to that point, David, the band was accepted to be okay, an okay place.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, that means it's always absolute. The value of the band was that it is people within that range are deemed to be within an equitable, accepted equitable distance from the statewide average. And so, you know, someone moving in over that line, that person is already at the benefit of being higher than the other court as well, relative to the numbers. So I think that there's, you know, whether there's that policy of it, it's just, I think, again, maybe the concept was, why is there a band? Because it could be an infinitesimal sort of changes of trying to get people there. And it being a band establishes a reasonable amount for now away from the average. We didn't think we would necessarily need to be talking about equity as much. That was why the bands were created, to give a range in which it's okay to be within that. I get your point, though, that Matt, it looks like something's happening, but it also understand that concept of, and I know you do, it's just that the band was, it's okay that they're in there. We're looking for those outside the band to come in.
Not to belabor this, but if we went with that thought, then coming into the band shouldn't be an issue either from the top down. That's my own. It feels a little bit like, from a policy standpoint, if we think the band is perfect and we don't want people penetrating sort of through the band, then we sort of, I would think, maybe want to think about the cap on both sides. It's not a huge issue. I'm just wondering if there had been discussion.
Fair point, though. Sorry, David.
David Yamasaki.
David.
No. And I was going to basically just add the final point that Zlatko made, and that is workload will cause placement, will influence placement into the band. And that's because there is not necessarily a expectation that we're going to land precisely at a particular number. That's why the 2% buffer above and below was kind of an opportunity to fit people within a particular area of that particular, I don't know, band, so to speak. So anyway, nothing more to add other than what was already said with the sensitivity about how workload may influence where a particular court happens to be. It's a very much a moving target.
So I don't want to complicate this either, but are somebody else going to make a comment? So this is an annual calculation. So this would be for fiscal year 25-26. Next year, the band is recalculated based upon all these numbers. And then relative to where you are in the band and whether or not it's a no new money year, a new money year, or a flat year, we once again utilize equity. So each year, a court may move for the next year in or out of the band, correct? Right.
Yes.
So that is just, David, I understand your point, but next year, now that band is going to be adjusted based upon where all the numbers are, and maybe Kings has now come into the band next year.
They're in the band now. That's the issue. They're in now. And what I'm saying is, you know, if we have the rule of no one comes below, so basically the way we keep people from moving into the band from the top is we limit the amount of reduction that they get. So they stop there. And my thought was we just do the same thing on the bottom. You take them up to the band and stop. You know, it's not, I just think that seems like the fairest way of doing it. I don't think it's a huge issue, but I just raise it as, it seems from a policy standpoint, if we think the edges of the band are sort of the limits of where we want to go, then I think we should apply it from the bottom up as well.
May I end at a little note, please? So actually, as of right now, the policy stands, there is no restriction for the cores below the band to penetrate inside the band.
Right.
So that's possible. If the 1% additional reallocation will bring any cores from the below the band into the band, that is happening. There is no restriction on that.
Right. That's the point I'm making. And I was wondering whether we should change that.
Well, we can always discuss that. I'm not sure if that's on the agenda for today to change it. We can always move forward today with the recommendation and then.
Conklin, it can't. I mean, it is worthy of conversation. And I think I don't think it precludes us from talking about refinements too. It's whether, I think the question is yes or no, but if there's a refinement, I think it's acceptable to talk about it today. if we can come to a conclusion. If not, then we can defer it to for further conversation.
If Yamasaki, you've still got your hand up. Is that just because it's up, or do you have a further thought?
Yeah, it's still up on a different topic. So one of the things that I just wanted to say is the approach to dealing with 2 years of no new money was created at a time where we didn't actually have to implement it. And so it's good to see that this particular principle that was embraced, enacted, approved years ago is something that demonstrates a continued focus on equity adjustments, because obviously those that are below the statewide average continue to have some challenges, maybe even more so than courts that are less underfunded. So I just wanted to say thank you very much for the team for bringing up or recognizing the earlier position that TICBAC had taken and figuring out all of the nuances and coming up with the calculations that I think follow the spirit in which the earlier decisions were made. So I know that there are potentially some additional conversation that may be taking place as it relates to this nuance that Mr. Slayton had brought up, but I just wanted to say thank you very much, and I support the recommendations as provided.
Okay, Judge Clark, I see your hand, and then David Slayton. I don't know if more comments, but Judge Clark,
a question, but I'll wait. Yeah,
I just want to make sure that I understand the implications of what David Slayton is bringing up. If you're for the courts that are below the band, if we limit just bringing them up to the band, then that potentially leaves more money that can be given to other courts that are below the band in trying to improve an equitable position for more courts as we reallocate these funds. Because rather than taking a court, you know, farther into the band, we're just going to bring them right to the base of right into the band, just at the bottom of the band, and use the extra money not to increase their position, but to increase the position of other courts that are below the funding band. You know, David, am I understanding what the implication of what you're talking about would be?
That was the exact point / question I was going to ask, which is just using the example here. We have two counties, one getting $22,675, one getting $179, $185. I don't know what the difference between what it would be, but presumably whatever their limit was, that money would be redistributed to the courts that are further below the band to bring people even more further up. You know, obviously these are smaller numbers. If it was a larger court that was situation, it might really make a big difference in some of the other courts. So I think you're right, Judge Clark, that it would ultimately bring all the ones below up further if we limited how far into the band they went.
And
Chris, I'm sorry, Judge Clark, go ahead.
I just follow up by adding, you know, one of the things that becomes apparent to me in looking at this is how many types of money are falling into the category of CPI, so that they're not, they're being allocated in a different way. And I think it is important that we look to make sure that the money that is being reallocated according to the workload formula, that we are trying to improve the equity position as much as possible for as many courts as possible. And so I think David Slayton's point is one that ought to be given some consideration. And it is logical that if you're going to limit the folks above the band and not let them fall too far in, then why wouldn't we also not try to not limit how far up you can go so that we can get as many courts up as close as possible to the bottom of the band?
So two things. One, the CPI, you're right, but that's dictated by budget language, and we'll talk about that in item two. So I understand what you're saying, Judge Clark, but that comes from the governor. So that's pretty clearly defined as what it is, and we have to follow that. I'm about to turn to Chris Rule, but I kind of hear you both saying the same thing, but as I understand it, it's always good
that courts either below the line or above the line don't go into the band, because that allows for other courts that are in the same relative position to come closer. And then next year we recalculate it. So next year you might then land in the band and you'll be allocated appropriately. But theoretically, if you have 10 courts below the band and you limit court number 10 by saying you can't get too much money to move you into the band, but we're going to share that money with other courts that are below the band to bring them even closer to you this year, that's a good thing. No courts below the band move into the band, but all the courts below the band move relatively closer to the band. Same with courts above. But we can discuss tweaks. I think it's always good to improve.
I think that's what we're saying.
Right.
That's not what's happening right now under the current policy. Because right now we basically distribute that 1% or whatever to all the courts below the band with no limit in the upward movement. And so you have courts moving into the band. And what you're suggesting is, I think what we're suggesting, which is take them to the band. That makes sense. And then distribute whatever's left over to everybody else to pull everybody else up with them.
Okay, I'm going to turn to Chris Rule and then to Chad. Chris?
Yeah, I'm not sure this point still applies, but I think I would suggest that we defer this discussion to another time, just because I think we may find ourselves trying to nuance the details here. If we open it up, for example, for courts that are below the band to move into the band, then the next practical question is, how far do you let them move into the band? And so to me, I think that's a separate discussion. And so anyway, I think I would advocate, I think it's worth addressing this. We're discussing it. I just think, given what else is on the agenda today, it might be better to defer that full discussion to another time.
Okay, Chad. Thanks, Chris.
I was going to make a point sort of similar to Chris's, which is not necessarily to end the discussion, but just to suggest we might want to bifurcate this, because I think I understand the point that Judge Clark and David Slayton are making. And if we go forward with that, it would be an FMS recommendation to tick back to JBBC, to the council, to change a five-year-old policy, right? So that's going to require one set of procedural motions, whereas the recommendation that's before us is just trying to get ready for what we think is going to happen 3 months from now. You know what I mean? So I would be worried about us delaying. Well, I don't know. Just a thought, at least, to maybe bifurcate those. But if we think we can get it, if there's a, you know, a strong sentiment to change, and we think we can work it all the way through to the council in time for the 25-26 allocations, then I guess we could keep going.
Yeah, I'll let Sean comment, but again, time wise, that might be rather difficult. Concerning the fact we go to the council.
Just on the technical side, I mean, if you say that if it's as simple as, and Oksana can help me with this, if it simply says that you get to the band, that's pretty straightforward. If to get to you to 2%. Below the statewide average, that's calculable and that's known, and that's not a significant tweak. If we're already doing math to limit downward movement, the math to limit upward movement and distribute the difference is, I think from a procedural standpoint, both can be married. It's not only that the policy is being followed, but it's being amended, updated to reflect this adjustment. So
don't you think that has to go through tick back JBBC and then the
but
council?
It would, just like this recommendation in and of itself will still have to do all that. It, regardless of any changes, this reallocation will have to go to tick back and JBBC like any other allocation does. So procedurally, they can be wrapped up in one item if that's what the FMS chooses to do.
All right, Sean.
Yeah, I was actually going to take a different approach and agree with Chad and Chris on it. I think it sort of, I mean, I'm happy to have the discussion. I think it's going to probably open up a can of worms as we start to dive into it, because maybe it's not just to the lower band. You know, maybe it's something different. I just feel like we're going to open a lot of rabbit holes here. I'd rather wait and have a more full discussion about it. And this changes every year. These numbers are updated and it changes. So once we settle on one policy, it could change again. So, you know, that's my...
Blanco, I understand what you're saying, but I think regardless, it's a policy change. And I think it's a discussion that we need to have plenty of time to think through. So I would tend to agree. The recommendation currently is given the existing policy and a no new money year, these would be the allocations. Now, that being said, David and Judge Clark, I think you make a very good point. That's why this committee exists, to look at policy and decide for future years, do we need to alter that policy?
Then I would recommend, if we are going to amend it, then it's for a future year and not to try and catch it up to 25-26, because I just envision us needing the time to do and address any of the nuances and the can of worms that are suggested might be opened. I'm not going to say whether they will or will not, but I would rather, if this is what we're going to do, that we do this recommendation as it is and then have a future conversation for future adjustments. To give folks the time, because I think we just don't have time to try and do this seemingly. I mean, there's a lot going on otherwise with the budget.
That's a very appropriate comment. And again, David Slayton, just to share my experience in past years, when we've sort of moved on the fly, we look back and say, why didn't we take more time? Because as Sean just said, it's sort of a moving target. And as we start to alter the policy, then those courts above the band say, oh, hold on a minute. What about, and I think it's a very valid policy discussion to have as we move forward. So I don't mean to dictate the outcome. David Yamasaki, you stated you supported the recommendation. Is that a motion to approve?
Yes, that is would be my motion to approve the recommendations as expressed on page 7.
All right. Would you consider a friendly amendment to that we would also for future years, consider the policy change that David Slayton and Judge Clark have and others have recommended we consider?
Yes, absolutely. I would accept that friendly amendment.
Is there a second?
Landry seconds.
Okay, so moved and seconded that the recommendation set forth at page 7 of 42 be approved with the additional language that FMS will now address future policy changes concerning whether courts below and above the band, and David Slayton could probably state it better than I can, about how they should move. So it's been moved and seconded. Either for any further discussion on this item? And any opposition to the recommendation as moved? I've waited, I've paused, I see no opposition. I see a lot of people on mute, so please don't let me roll over you. I don't hear any opposition. I don't see any hands waving at me. So we'll deem the recommendation at page 7 of 42, 1 and 2 approved unanimously with the added language that we will continue to modify or tweak this policy for effective purposes. All right, thank you all. Very, very good discussion. David Slayton and Judge Clark, please, at the future meetings, let's stay on top of this. And if you want to get in touch with me to make sure that we move through this, I think all the members agree that's appropriate. Item 2, moving forward to item 2, this we just talked about in part, and this is the CPI from the budget, the current budget, reminding everybody we've had fires. Unfortunately, we now have a stock market that is tumbling in a pretty scary fashion, and numbers could change substantially. But as the budget currently is proposed, it concludes $40 million allocation to address operational cost increases. This is clearly, at least in the consideration of this committee, a CPI funding item, and a CPI, it is not new money. We have a current funding allocation methodology for CPI. It's calculated based on the prior year's workload formula. I'm reminding everybody, this is a two-step process. We'll go through the equity adjustment we just talked about for a no new money year, 2 years in a row. After those numbers are calculated, then the $40 million allocation will be calculated based upon those numbers. And I turn to Oksana for further detail. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone again. My name is Oksana Tak. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. Item two of today's agenda and for your consideration is allocation methodology for $40 million ongoing general fund included in fiscal year 25-26 governance budget proposal to address increases in operational cost for the trial courts. Each year, the cost of maintaining existing service levels in the California court system increases due to the general inflationary pressure facing all government operations. In recognition of these cost pressures, the related budget actions since fiscal year 2020-21 has included items as described below. The fiscal year 2020-21 governor's budget included $61.7 million ongoing general fund for an overall 3% increase in funding for the trial courts to address inflationary cost pressures. Due to the state projected revenue loss associated with the pandemic, the Budget Act of 2020 included a $167.8 million reduction for the trial courts and an overall reduction of $200 million for the judicial branch. The requested CPI adjustment was not included in the final budget. However, in fiscal years 21-22, 22-23, and 23-24, the final budget did include the consumer price index adjustment, CPI, to address the trial court operational cost increases due to the inflation. This funding was intended to benefit all courts. Therefore, it was not allocated according to the Council's approved workload formula methodology, but rather it was allocated proportionally based on applying the CPI percentage increase to the prior year fiscal workload formula allocation for each court in each respective fiscal year. As mentioned during the presentation for item one, the council approved the recommendation that CPI funding included in the budget to address inflationary costs for the trial court is not considered new money for the purpose of allocating funding via the workload formula methodology. Despite the challenging fiscal environment, the fiscal year 25-26 governor's budget included $40 million ongoing general fund to address increases in operational costs for all trial courts. And as previously discussed, the budget included a partial restoration of $42 million beginning in fiscal year 24-25, which the council approved for in its February 21 business meeting. Consistent with council policy regarding CPI funding included in the budget, the $40 million for operational cost increases for the trial courts is proposed to be allocated as a proportional increase of 1.6% over each court's fiscal year 24-25 workload formula allocation. The proposed allocations are based on the revised fiscal year 24-25 workload formula allocation after the $42 million restoration, which established a new $55 million baseline reduction for the trial courts beginning in fiscal year 24-25. Please see attachment 2A on page 12. So for fiscal year 25-26, the $40 million would be added to the allocation after applying the equity-based funding reallocation in the second year of no new money per workload formula policy, as described earlier in item one of today's agenda. So the final allocation of $40 million will be updated based on any needed technical adjustment and is contingent on funding being included in the enacted budget for fiscal year 25-26. The recommendations presented for consideration are listed on page 11 of the materials. So that concludes our presentation. And we're happy to take any questions.
Sandra, thanks so much. So I'll turn it over for discussion. Again, as my habit is, to summarize, essentially
We recalculate based upon the no new money year adjustment, and then given those new numbers, everybody gets 1.6% of the allocation for the $40 million CPI increase. With that, the recommendations are set forth at page 11 of 42, and I open it up for discussion.
Judge Conklin, this is Kim Turner.
Hey, Kim, go ahead.
So I haven't been on FMS in many, many years, so I'm trying to, you know, quickly reorient myself to the principles that are, you know, part of this committee. So I have just a question. So let's say that the $40 million turns out to be $20 million. So is the principle that we're establishing today, the way that we're actually going to step through this formula, would we simply change the bottom number line and then, you know, let that change in the amount of funding that we receive flow through the spreadsheet accordingly? Or if the number comes in at $20 million instead of 40, do we need to reconvene this committee and go through the whole discussion again as to whether or not the way we allocate it will be the same as what we're doing today?
So Zlatko can answer that.
Yes. The recommendation includes this is subject to final budget, and we would make the a change accordingly.
Okay.
So we wouldn't need to come, because this is not the absolute numbers. This is the methodology, just like we just talked about in the last one.
That's what I wanted to just make sure. Yes.
Yeah, we would want to affirm the method, and then subject to final budget appropriations, fingers crossed that it stays in at 40, that would be. But if it were to be reduced, we would look that as an adjustment in the budget consistent, but we would remain consistent with the methodology that would be taken to the council.
Great, thanks for that clarification.
Sure.
And Kim, that was a good question. Thank you, sir, appreciate that. David Yamasaki, your hands up, David.
Yes, thank you very much. I just had a question for clarification. In the materials that were provided, there was a reference that the governor's budget did not include a CPI for the courts. I think that's what the language reads. And I just wanted to clarify or confirm that we have relied very heavily on terms, and they've become somewhat terms of art. There is a distinction between a CPI and an inflationary increase, which I guess functionally they do the same thing, maybe in different numbers. But I just wanted to ask if there is a recognition / acknowledgement that this is absolutely not a CPI, which is distributed differently, but rather something that goes through this calculation process.
David, if I might, Judge, it's not CPI because it's not 2.7% that we asked for. That's what CPI was. But it is a cost of doing business, which CPI has been. So we've always treated those the same, be it called a CPI or referred to as inflationary cost increases. Those have been allocated in the same way. Things that have been discretionary equity funding or discretionary funding for the branch, those have been gone through the workload formula. And so I think that the distinction we were trying to make in materials is that it's not being called CPI because it's not the BCP we asked for that was called a CPI adjustment at 2.7%. It's a flat amount that is for cost increases for which the CPI BCP was also intending to address.
But in the past, if there's a CPI increase, it has historically gone through a distribution process where everybody gets that same percentage. Is that correct?
And that's what this is.
Right, that's exactly what this is.
That's what this is.
It's going through the same process.
It's approximately 1.6%.
Got it.
It's just not 2.7 or 3.4 or whatever it was that the BCP would have been approved at. It's just a lesser amount.
That same
percent. And so now the percentage, 40 million over the allocation amount from 2024-25, is what everybody will get.
Does that answer your question, David?
It does.
Great, thank you. Turning next to David Slate and then Judge Clark. David?
I just have a comment to make, and David Yamasaki's question exposed what I was hoping to say. But a lot of people listen to these meetings, and I think it's worth noting and reinforcing what Zlatko just said, which is that the branch, I believe in the BCP, asked for 2.5% 64.5 million. The governor's introduced budget gave us 40, which for anyone listening means that we did not get enough to really cover the inflationary costs that the courts are experiencing. And so while we're grateful for what we're getting, I just think it's important for everybody to know this is not a full, as Zlatko just said, a full inflationary CPI amount. We're getting some portion of that, which the courts will do our best to use to cover increases, but I don't want anyone to think this is covering all of our inflationary costs. So that's all I wanted to make. So thanks very much.
Indeed. And Daryl does a great job at the, as will Judge Rogan and Judge Mormon did say that these are movements toward, but they're not fully covering the there's a gap even from the budget reductions. And so they've used the appropriate language. And I don't know if you were there at the Senate at that part when Daryl was talking about it, but it makes progress, but it is not making us whole. And Senator Sayarto did a great job of identifying that when Senator Wahab thought that we had not received the reduction he clarified. So
which gained all of it back. Once again, establishes my point why presiding judges such as myself should be careful about the language they use. And I appreciate the court execs keeping it clear. So when I said CPI, technically it's an inflationary cost adjustment. It is not all of CPI. Like you said, it's appreciated. It adjusts our costs based upon inflation, but it doesn't give us the entire impact of the current CPI numbers. Judge Clark, you had your hand up.
Just had a question. Maybe this is best directed to Z. Am I correct in my understanding that typically when the governor's budget is released, monies that are allocated to the court are tied to particular BCPs that the court has submitted. There's a reference to them, and that this fund money, this $40 million, was not tied to the CPI budget change proposal that the court made. There's no reference between them. That it is being interpreted as being the equivalent of CPI just based on how it's described. Is that right?
The Department of Finance told us that they were not approving the CPI BCP. They said, we're giving you $40 million for cost increases. And so the words conveyed to us are, you asked for this, this is our result. Not, you asked for this zero, and we're doing something different, which they've done in the past. They've said, we're not giving you these BCPs. We're giving you some other just pot of money. Like, you know, there was a year where they gave us $100 million for equity for those courts under the, you know, the funding level. So I wish there was an absolute formula, but in this instance, it was reading the A pages, the governor's budget summary, it says cost increases. Those are words that have been used to describe inflationary increases, but they aren't giving us, again, the 2.5, if I recall it incorrectly, but the specific BCP that we were given. It is that, ultimately. It's the next closest thing to the BCP we asked for in the ways that was described to us, maybe not exactly written in the words that they wrote, that it is inflationary, but they've used a collection of those words that I gathered after the Jan 10 came out. There were some questions about that. I don't know if I'm answering your question, Judge Clark, or not. I hope I didn't make it more complicated.
More of my concern, as I mentioned a bit ago, that if we expand what falls into the category of CPI and we go beyond things that are expressly labeled as CPI to include things that are cost of doing business or inflationary adjustments, and we expand that definition to put all those things in the same category, we are really limiting then what monies are available to try to address equity improvements. And I just want to make sure that we're not being over expansive in what
I would argue from all my years of this is absolutely appropriate and within the definitions of how these funds are intended to be allocated. They are not equity funds. We just dealt with equity in the first issue, and that's why the branch has that. And you all made that recommendation that CPI inflationary cost adjustments are not new money so that we can continue to do equity. And so that's what I think is important. And I think it's the brilliance of this committee to have both methods being discussed today is that we don't abandon equity by having the reallocation. We understand that all courts are facing cost increases. If we recall that it's not just equity as a fundamental principle of our allocations, it's also stability and predictability. And we can't abandon those in search of everything that fits into the equity model.
So the other side, Judge Clark, and I appreciate your perspective. Zlatko just used the word brilliance of this committee. It's also, and again, I want to be careful, but exemplary of the brilliance of his team and budget. We've learned in the past that the language, we have to be very careful to allocate within the language stated from DOF and the governor, and we can't cross those lines. And this appears to be very, and I understand your perspective, and I agree with you completely. We've got to keep these things in the lanes they're intended to be. Right. Equity is a key principle of this committee and of the branch, and we're pursuing equity. At the same time, we also have to pursue the basic tenets of inflationary cost adjustments. And that recognizes that the boats all rise together. We all have the same costs, and this is what that is. So not to put too fine a point on it, but Zlatko and his team know what this language means. And it's,
I'm asking for the clarification.
You have to be real careful with it. So I don't see any other hands. I'm just trying to keep us on track. I don't want to prevent further discussion. Is there a motion concerning the recommendations of page 11 and 42 for item 2?
I move approval of the recommendation. This is Kim Turner.
Kim, thank you. Is there a second?
Yeah, rule second.
Moved and seconded the recommendations of 11 and 42 concerning the inflationary cost adjustment of $40 million be allocated as proposed. Now that it's open for further discussion, any further discussion? Hearing none, calling for the vote, is there any opposition to the recommendation as set forth at page 11 of 42? Hearing no opposition, I deem the recommendation unanimously approved. Thanks all so much. And Judge Clark, if you want to give me a call on the side, I'm more than happy to chat to you. Your comments are so appropriate. I just...
No, I'm just asking. I just wanted to ask how they were conveyed.
Yep.
So we know that the language falls there, because typically they are tied specifically to a BCP. This was not, but I figured there was some language that was expressed that made it clear this is where it fell. That's why I'm asking.
And you are correct. Thank you. All right, moving to item 3, the last item on our agenda. This is allocation methodologies for potential future funding restoration. So this kind of is as this committee and TechBack does, we're preparing for future years. We've just worked through last year a reduction and then a restoration. But we treated that restoration as and this sounds a little counterintuitive, but it was ongoing, but it was only for last year to address how it happened last year. We're now at that new baseline budget. And so now we need to look forward and come up with consideration of an allocation methodology options for potential restoration of funding in future budget years if there is a reduction. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Oksana to summarize. Oksana.
Thank you, Judge Conklin, again. So once again, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tak. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. Agenda item number 3 considers allocation methodologies for potential funding restoration that could be included in a future budget for the trial courts. This item begins on page 13 of your materials. Also included in the materials is the edited version of the trial court funding and workload formula resource guide displayed in attachment 3A beginning on page 16. It has been posted on the Judicial Resource Network in the Budget Services section. As a reminder, this is a living document which will be periodically updated with new information as needed. So the discussion of topic for funding restoration methodologies began back in October 30th of last year, when FMS members looked at allocation methodologies used for previous instances of funding restoration, and then continuing on December 17 and February 5th meetings. FMS directed council staff to produce a series of restoration scenarios using hypothetical dollar amount to illustrate various allocation methodology approaches for the consideration. All requested scenarios are calculated based on current fiscal year 24-25 workload formula need and revised workload formula allocation amount for each court as approved by the council at its recent business meeting in February. For funding restoration, five scenarios are presented for model purposes only, using a hypothetical funding restoration of $50 million. Please see attachment 3B through 3E. The presented funding restoration options are the following. Restoration of funding exactly how it was reduced. So that was approached when funding was restored in Budget Act of 2021 for the reduction taken in the prior fiscal year due to the state's deficit resulting from the pandemic. Next option is to utilize the workload formula. That funding is allocated in the same way as a new money is allocated using the existing workload formula methodology. And for comparison, there is a scenario utilizing workload formula methodology based on workload formula allocation and on workload formula need. Next is a pro rata restoration allocation. This approach will allocate restoration funding proportionally to all child courts based on each court's workload formula need and workload formula allocation amount. The next option is workload formula with equity adjustment. And finally, the last funding restoration option is recalculating revised reduction using initial methodology. As a note, this last option was approved last month by the council for $42 million partial funding restoration in current fiscal year 24-25, consistent with governor's budget for fiscal year 25-26. As a reminder, FMS can also consider other methodologies as proposed by members or by trial court representatives. We also want to emphasize that each presented scenarios bring its own unique value into today's discussion, as each option has its own pros and cons. The scenarios where existing workload formula methodology or portion of it was utilized provide more tailored approach for finding a restoration. Additionally, they move courts finding more towards equity and more closely aligned with workload formula principles of stability and predictability. Also, as a reminder to members, workload formula need has been historically the basis and the foundation of workload formula methodology. When the model was developed, the workload formula need was believed to allow a uniform application of proposed increase or decrease in funding and establish a controlled parameters. Today, the committee is asked to continue discussion to establish long-term strategy to allocate potential future restoration of funding based on workload formula or principles to advance the goal of funding equity, stability, and predictability to support child court operations. The funding restoration in this discussion will be specifically identified as restoration in nature in the Budget Act language, and will be happening in the future fiscal year after the funding reduction occurred. The recommendation will be considered by Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, Judicial Branch Budget Committee, and eventually the Council. That concludes our presentation today, and we're happy to take any questions you may have.
Okay. So I'll open it up for discussion. And it's a very minor point, but to clarify timing, the last two items we just addressed are going to be considered by the council in its April meeting, because they need to be, because they address the 25-26 budget. This discussion, I do not believe, has the same timing constraints, because
we're now dealing with 25-26 as a, we now know we're starting with those numbers. This would be in years out from that. So discussion, thoughts? Not everybody at once.
Joe, I might just say though, it still can go to the council.
Sure.
It's for application. So it will, we'll package it going as a policy decision, just like, you know, we talked about the reductions going forward through, but its application will be, again, depending on what the budgets are in the future.
Yep. David Slayton, you have your hand up. Go ahead. And then Chuck, Chris.
Sure.
And Ken.
I think I made this point when we last met, and I'll make it again here, which is I do think the point that's been made is important, which is a restoration during the current fiscal year, like what we had, is different than what we're considering now, which is a restoration in future years. And I think the reason why that's so important is because obviously during a fiscal year, all the numbers are sort of still the same. When we start talking about future fiscal years, let's say that over the next 2 years, the rest of the restoration gets funded to the branch and it's called restoration. Well, the workload formula need looks different. I mean, everything's sort of all over the place. And I think that is the reason why for me, to restore it using one of the methodologies that sort of looks backward to how it was reduced, feels like it's apples and oranges. And I sort of look at it, if there's a restoration of money in future years, that should be considered new money, and be distributed through the workload formula. Because that otherwise that's actually sort of furthering, I think, the branch's goal of improving equity. And, you know, if we're looking backwards a year or two, who knows if we're improving equity at that point. And so I think that I want to draw the line and distinction between current year versus future years, which is the key, the biggest part of this. But I think when it's a future year restoration, which we may or may not ever see, I hope we do. I think the better way to look at it is that's new money that should be distributed through the workload formula.
All right, David, thanks. Chris, rule.
Yeah, I agree with everything that David Slayton just said about treating it as new money. So I think that really takes out number five as an option. And I kind of went back and forth a little bit between option two and option four, which would be attachment 3C and attachment 3E. In the end, I think I land on option two as the best, at least in my mind, because option four is appealing because it really sort of supercharges equity adjustment. However, I think the problem is that it doesn't give enough relief to courts above the band, you know, for money that is specifically identified as restoration money. It potentially leaves very little on the table after bringing courts below the band up for any kind of restoration, you know, real restoration for courts above the band. And so that's why I kind of land more on option two, and that's attachment 3C. Thank you.
Okay. And David Slayton, not to put words in your mouth, but is that option two what you were advocating?
Yes. And for the same reasons that Chris just indicated, why 3E does not, I would go with 3C.
Oh,
the same one Chris just talked about.
Okay. So next, Kim Turner, and then Judge Clark, and then Chad.
Well, Chris and David stole all my thunder. So that's exactly where I was going with this, that I think that attachment 3C, for all the reasons previously stated, that we need to look at this as new money rather than restoration of money that may be a year or two in the past. This really needs to be looked at as characterized as new money. And I think putting it through the workload formula, through the workload need, is the way to go. So in attachment 3C, not based on allocation, but based on the need at the time that this becomes known. So I'm also in favor of attachment 3C.
Which is option two workload formula.
Right. Yes.
Right. Judge Clark?
I won't belabor the points. I'll just join my voice with the others, because that is the position that I think is appropriate as well. And meets that goal, both of equity, but also of the stability and predictability for the higher funded courts, which I think is important for us to recognize, as we've pointed out here today.
Thank you. And Chad?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel silly because I'm just me too. but I do think, you know, who knows how often this specific scenario is going to happen, right? I mean, where there's a cut and then down the road in a future year, it's specifically identified as a restoration. But I think to Chris's point of why I like two better than four, what we saw this year is when there is a restoration, questions get asked about, well, when we restored this, what did you bring back online? You know, when it's labeled as a restoration, there seems to be some expectation that we're going to be able to point to some expansion of service or access. And I think for those courts that are above the line, that's an easier question to answer with two than four, you know, because on four, when you do sort of turbocharge equity, the amount courts above the line are getting back, the answer might be, well, we didn't do a whole lot. So I'm in the same boat. And I guess I just love to hear myself talk.
The big boat. Thanks, Chad. I haven't heard a motion yet, but Zlatko, go ahead.
And this is great because I think that we're talking about words mattering. Restorations are usually very close, right, either as it happened this year or right afterward. And then as you get further away, that word restoration disappears from the budget terminology, and they're just now new investments. And I think part of restoration is they don't want to look back at the bad year. They want to look at the good they're doing moving forward. The new money structure exists, but I think you're affirming it in that way, that once we get further away from it, circumstances have changed both budgetarily and from a, you know, overall need. We're going to have significant changes as we see the new case rates rolled out, but filings and all of that will be different 3 years, 2 years down the road. We don't usually see restoration unless it's year of or year after. And we already know where we're at with, you know, the year of and the year after in this instance.
Excellent. Sean, I thought I saw your hand up and now it's down. Did you?
Well, just for clarity, I heard different attachments being referenced. Just for my own clarity, we're talking about attachment 3C, correct? The workload formula restoration?
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah, okay.
All right. David Slayton, your hand's back up.
All right, just a question, maybe Oksana could. I know on 3C, there's really two options. There's an adjustment based upon workload formula need, and then there's adjustment based upon workload formula allocation, and there are slight differences between the two. I don't know if I'm not smart enough to look at these numbers and understand the math behind it. I was sort of surprised, for instance, just looking at LA, because I'm familiar with that one, to see that the restoration based on allocation was higher than the restoration based upon need when the court is underfunded from its need. Do you know why it's working that way? I'm trying to figure out why the restoration based on allocation would be higher than need whenever many of the courts are underfunded from their need. Does that question make sense?
It does make sense. I cannot really tell you. If you want, we can speak offline, and I will investigate more what the reason causing that.
I think I advocated last time that the normal workload formula, that's distributed based upon need, right? Normally, and anybody, right?
Yes.
So I think Judge Conklin, I think if you're ready for a motion, I would make a motion that would say, option two, calculated based upon workload formula need, which is the typical way we would distribute new money.
I'll second. This is Kim.
Okay, so sorry, let me get back there.
Try to keep up, Judge Conklin.
I know. Trials, all that other silly stuff. So we have the recommendation set forth at page allocation options for future restoration, and allocation option number two is workload formula. The restoration is treated as new money and funding is allocated to the courts in the same way that new money is allocated using existing workload formula methodology. So David has
I think that actually that what that as said actually satisfies. I just want to point out on the attachment, there are two options.
Right.
But the one based upon allocation is not how we distribute new money. So I think the recommendation at two is would be the correct one. I just want to make sure everyone understands we're talking about allocating it based upon need.
So what column are you referring to, David, on attachment three?
The fifth column in from the left.
Give me a letter.
D.
Okay, so it's attachment 3C, column D.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. Does everybody understand that to be the, it's been moved and who second? David moved it, who seconded it?
Kim Turner did.
All right, moved and seconded that the workload formula allocation methodology for restoration of funding be adopted as is set forth in attachment 3C, column D. So it would be workload formula restoration based upon workload formula need.
Correct.
Rose, does that give you what you need?
Yes, Judge Conklin, it does.
Zlatko, do you see anything that we're leaving out?
I certainly don't. I think you guys are doing a great job. And just for, as we move forward, we have, this was sort of unfinished business from a prior meeting. And so this will combine both what you've done on the reduction approach that we talked about at the earlier meeting, early February, because these are future approaches. We'll package those together so they, you'll see that. But I think this is great work. And it speaks to stability, predictability, is that now we have methods that people will can see early on in a budget. And we you know, hopefully it's all on the plus side in the near future. But it'll give folks an opportunity to know that that's what we're doing. And we can run scenarios for folks on approved methodologies, assuming right. that it goes all the way through the rest of TIC back and JBBC and the council that way.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded that the recommendation is clearly stated as I can be approved. Now that it's a pending motion, any additional discussions, comments, or concerns? And with that, is there any opposition to the motion as stated? Hearing none, seeing none, I deem the recommendation at that page unanimously approved. I think it's been made very clear. Rose, if you have any questions, call David Slayton. But I think it's clear. So thanks so much, folks. I know this was one of our very good discussions. I think we aired a lot out. This should be reflective too of the branch's appreciation of the struggles that happened, but the advocacy that the chief and Shelley and Zlatko and everybody have gone through to try to get us back as close as we can to the money we need. I want to be real careful here, but I think perhaps that advocacy goes unnoticed or misunderstood by some, and it shouldn't. That advocacy has been so beneficial to the branch, and we appreciate it. So we're 17 minutes early. Anything else for the good of the order?
There was a question that I
posed. Oh, that's right. So thank you, Zlatko. And I wanted to introduce this back. This had to do with the decision we've previously made about the no new money year. And I wanted to clarify an alternative. I think Chad stated it. Remember, it's every second year of no new money. So we don't make this is not every single year there's no new money. This is the second year of no new money. This is how the no new money is allocated. And then we will not reallocate based upon a no new money year until we have another second consecutive year of no new money. So it'd be 2 years out at the most. Is that accurate, Chad and Zlatko?
We want to make sure that question is been raised and answered. But Chad, go ahead.
Well, so I think that the question was coming up because as I understand it, we've now had 3 years of no new money. And so it's, you know, is it, if you look over the course of a 4 year span, would you reallocate in years 3 and 4, or would you do 3 and then skip a year and 5? I think is a succinct way to say it, right? So that's really the question is when we do this reallocation, like we're proposing to do this year, does that now start a new 2 consecutive year clock running? And I think that's what the intent has been, but I think it's also, I don't think we've had this before where we've gone 3 years And so, you know, I'm sort of trying not to make assumptions, right? Did I state it correctly, Z?
You have perfectly. And I think this, I would recommend, so we know where we are and what we want to do in 25, 26. But there's questions about the bands and these other issues that I think we've tabled for a future conversation. I think it's worth bringing this into that conversation because we've yet over the course of, you know, since it was adopted, ever done it. And so now we're coming across the items that, you know, the issues that David Slayton has raised, these questions about how do we actually stack it based on reality. And I think it's worth, my recommendation is worth just making sure that we're clear on how we'd want to do that. Because to do it again and again, you know, I would just say from my perspective, doing it 2 years in a row is against the whole idea of stability and predictability. part of this was to give people an opportunity to plan. And I know, so that's why it pushes me in the mind that we should have a gap because it's absorbed the redistribution, the reallocation. And then, and I know David's kind of nodding his head, Yamasaki, part of this was, you know, it's coming, you can plan for it. And it wasn't intended again to be seemingly a year after year thing, but we had a pause in this current year where we didn't do it. After 2 years of no new money, I think it's just, again, worth a conversation as part of the other discussion, because now we're living in a reality and we want to align sort of our policy thinking with our actual execution.
Chris, roll your hands up.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to put the dots together. So the practical implication of what I'm hearing is, because David Slayton and Judge Clark have suggested a tweak, I'll call it, to our allocation methodology and the policy in years when there's no new money in consecutive years. So as a practical matter, we will not have occasion to consider and make that tweak for another 2 years.
Well, that's what I think we'll need to clarify as we move forward with this discussion, because this is essentially a third year of no new money. So I think it's a valuable issue to continue to discuss. But Chris, as you state it right now, that's the way I understand it as well.
Okay.
As it exists. But I think, Zlatko, if I understand your recommendation, which I think is a good one, let's fold this into the discussion that Judge Clark and David Slayton have suggested, so we can move forward as is most effective for the branch, considering goals of equity, transparency, and stability, which you just mentioned. Fair enough. Does that answer it? I guess everybody's tired. Okay. All right. So we will continue to move forward on this. But presently, I think Chris has stated it most accurately. That's the existing policy, is this is the first year of no new money. After 2 years, we'll then have we'll have a gap year and then look at the second year. But we'll continue to discuss if that's policy should be tweaked. All right, to allow everybody to get back to their second full-time job. When's our next meeting? Now, Rose, could you just briefly, this, I know you did, but just so everybody's aware, the timetable this goes forward to TCBAC, JBBC, so, and the council.
This will go forward to TCBAC on April 16th, and then JBBC, and then the council in July.
Okay, so none of what we talked about today will be on the council's April calendar?
Correct.
All right, it'll be on the July calendar.
And then Judge Conklin, just for the record, I just wanted to state that there was no public comment for this meeting.
Thank you. Excellent. Okay. All right. Any other comments, questions, or concerns, folks? All right. Appreciate everybody's willingness to sacrifice another lunch hour. Thanks all for the input. This is a great, anyways, you guys are great. I appreciate it. And it's getting close, so now I think I can say it again. Because it has started, go Dodgers. David Yamasaki is remaining remarkably quiet.
I applaud your vigilance.
There you go. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye all. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.